You know, first off, isn't there so much to be thankful for? There's so much to be thankful for, and that's why we're gathered here today. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Dan, for giving me the opportunity to preach here tonight. You know, if you had told me 5-6 years ago that I'd be standing up here preaching God's Word to you, I told you you're crazy. Crazy. Wouldn't happen. Not at all. But it's amazing how God can work in your life in such a short period of time. So we're here for Thanksgiving. And I do have to say, I have to apologize. I turned our pastor into a liar. He said yesterday that next week, because of Thanksgiving, we're not going to be in Colossians. But I need you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. So if you turn to Colossians chapter 2, every year on the last Thursday in November, we have the holiday of Thanksgiving. And I don't know if many of you know this, but it didn't get established as that until 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. It was during the Civil War, in fact, right in the middle of the Civil War. Gettysburg was fought that year, one of the bloodiest battles. Over 50,000 men lost their lives in that battle. That's just about as many that lost their lives in the 10 years of Vietnam. The world, our country was in the midst of major turmoil. And in a hope of establishing, trying to reestablish unity and to lift the spirits of the country, Abraham Lincoln made it an official holiday to be celebrated on the last Thursday. And when he made it this holiday, he gave a Thanksgiving proclamation. And at the time that Pastor Dan had asked me to preach here tonight, I was watching a documentary on the Civil War. And it was on 1863 that night, and they shared part of his Thanksgiving proclamation, in which Abraham Lincoln gave the following as the purpose for this new established holiday. He stated that the holiday was to be celebrated to ask God to commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation. And as I was watching this show and I heard those words, I started thinking about all the suffering that the people of this country had faced. You know, they had said that entire towns were wiped out because all the men in that town from the ages of 16 up to 50 were wiped out. They had nothing left. They had to move on. Such suffering. And as I watched this and I thought about what I would preach about for Thanksgiving, I started to think about over the years all of the believers that I had met and known that were suffering. That were stuck in hardship. They were suffering from strongholds in their life. They were suffering under the weight of discouragement and fear. Maybe they had other sins that they were struggling with in their life. And I thought about how they struggled with being thankful. Their lives were wrapped around their troubles, and they couldn't find a way to be thankful. And I thought, maybe this evening there's some of you out there that are struggling with being thankful. Maybe you're looking back throughout the events of this past year and you're going, my life has been turmoil. What am I to be thankful for? And so regardless of your outward circumstances, there is one thing that every believer can be thankful for. And that's for Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for you on the cross. And so tonight, this evening, as we study God's Word, we're going to see how every believer can abound in thankfulness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You so much for this opportunity to be here tonight, to be able to share truth from Your Word. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to have Your completed Word, to be able to study Your Word, and Lord, to be able to share that Word with others. Lord, help us all tonight to just have open, eager hearts, ready to learn and grow from Your truth. Help us, Lord, to not just hear Your Word, but to take Your Word and just plant it into our hearts. To not just know the Word, but then to be doers of the Word. Help us to take Your truth and be shining lights for Your gospel out there. Help me, Lord, tonight to just simply be a humble vessel. Just, Lord, to share your truth and wisdom. They don't need Shannon's wisdom. They need your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So, Lord, I pray that just use me as you will tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 through 7. Paul writes here to the Colossian church, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So tonight we're going to see how every believer can abound in thankfulness. And the first way is by resting in the gift Christ gave you. Look at verse 6 again. Everyone here that has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior has received something. Look at what verse 6 says here. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Listen, in Christ you have received some of the greatest gifts you could ever receive. Listen to the following verses. Listen to Romans 6, 22 through 23. Paul writes here, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Did you catch that? Now being made free from sin. You have fruit unto holiness. You have everlasting life. And this is all through Christ. Many of you may be familiar with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new." In Christ, you're a new creature. The old things, your old life is passed away. It's no longer who you are anymore. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul writes, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Now watch this. Look at this. "Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Your hope of glory is Christ in you. When you accept Christ, Christ is said to be in you. And as a result, you have that hope of that glory. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2 again. Look at verse 10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes here, he continues, he says, "And ye are complete in him," that's Christ, "which is the head of all principality and power." You are complete in Christ. You lack nothing. So not only is Christ in you the hope of glory, you are complete in Christ. So now, what are these gifts again? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've received some awesome and fantastic gifts. The first one is in Christ you have a new life. The second one is in Christ you have freedom from the bondage of sin. No longer does that sin have a hold on your life anymore. You are made free. And the third thing is in Christ you are complete. You have unity with Christ and you lack nothing to live this new life in Christ. Listen, this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the tip of the iceberg of the truths you learn in God's Word. Listen, you may be struggling out there right now. You may be finding it hard to be thankful this year. Or listen, maybe everything was great this year, but you know someone who's struggling. Listen, you can share these truths with them. Listen, you may be out of work. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you feel betrayed by someone close to you. Maybe you're struggling with sin or some other kind of stronghold. Maybe alcohol has got a grip on you this year. Maybe you can't quit smoking. Maybe you're struggling here. We all have struggles. We all do. But listen, we learn from God's truth that the struggles don't have to weigh you down. They don't have to have a stranglehold on your life. They don't have to drown out your thankfulness. And they absolutely do not define you anymore. You are in Christ, and that's who defines you. You are a new creature in Christ. The old is passed away. Listen to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Paul writes here, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Now listen, "forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before," Paul writes, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Forgetting those things which are behind. Don't let your old life get a grip on you anymore. If you are in Christ, those things are behind. Continue to press towards the mark, which is that glory that is in Christ. Listen, when you dwell upon your struggles, you lose sight of the cross of Christ. You lose sight of that. And it's on the cross that He paid the ultimate price. Listen, He paid for it on that cross. Your sins and the sins of others, my sins, it's through His death on the cross that those are eradicated. It's through His death on the cross and His defeat over death through His resurrection that we have new life. Listen, if you were to live abundantly thankful for Christ, never forget the price He paid and the gift He gave you through the cross. Listen, the second thing we need to see tonight about being abundantly thankful is not only to rest in the gift that Christ gave you, but also by finding truth and stability in Christ alone. Look at verse 7. Go back to Colossians chapter 2 if you're not already there. Look at verse 7 again. Well, we'll start in 6. We'll see this again. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Now verse 7, "rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught." You got to find truth and stability in Christ alone. You know, they say we're living in the information age. There is just a load of information at our fingertips. You can go to a bookstore, watch TV, listen to the radio, go on the internet and see all sorts of craziness out there. We live in the information age. There is more access to information. Whenever I hear somebody say, "I don't know," it's like you must be in a hole somewhere because you can find it if you look. Listen, there's a wealth of information out there. Go to the local bookstore. You go to the local bookstore, and one of the largest sections is your self-help section. Your self-help section. And it's amazing when you go there, there's all sorts of things there telling you how to get money, how to make more friends, how to be, you know, popular, how to get more cars and all these things. And you know, every 6 months, the new book comes out. What was told before now isn't good. Now you got to get this book. And sometimes if you go out there and look, it's kind of interesting. You can see one book, "This is how you get friends." And the one right next to it says, "No, this is how you get friends." Listen, there's all sorts of info out there. But listen, you can try and find your truth and stability in a bookstore, or you can go online and try and watch some video on YouTube, okay? I don't suggest it, but you can try it, all right? But listen, real truth and stability can only be found in one place, and that's Jesus Christ and His Word. If you want truth and stability in your life, quit going on the internet and get in God's Word. Listen, Colossians 2:7 here tells us where to find that truth and stability. And it's to be rooted, built up, and established in Christ. Listen, being rooted and established carries the idea of being stable, being not moved. When I was a kid, we used to go camping all the time. I lived up in Wisconsin. And every year, without fail, a tornado came through. You could just basically count one night that you're there, a tornado was going to come through, and you all had to go to the ranger station. It always happened. It was kind of adventuresome as a kid. Isn't that true? My mom's up there. She knows. One year, I remember me and my brother and a couple other friends, we used to go with friends, we were riding our bikes around, and there was an area on the side of the road. There was a big forest, and all these old trees, and rickety old bark, and you know, the roots just all kind of old and rotted. But there was a section that was totally clear. And in the middle of this clearing was this young tree about this tall. And what we found out later happened is a tornado came through, and all those old rickety trees, roots just kind of popping out of the dirt, got knocked over and broke into pieces. But in the middle of this forest of old trees was this young tree whose roots were deep in the ground. And when that tornado came through, instead of being ripped up and thrown away, it held to the ground and it would bend and it would sway, but it was never moved from its spot. Listen, that's the idea of what Paul is saying here, to be rooted and built up, but you got to be rooted and built up in Christ. In Christ. Listen, when you root and establish your life in Christ, you may be battered, but you will not be moved. Listen, the key to being rooted and established, though, is to be built up. You can't just be grounded in, but now you got to build up. That tree has got to grow stronger. Its roots have to go deeper. You got to be built up. You can't just stay a little bush. You got to become that big tree for Christ. Built up means to build up, to rear up. It carries the idea of being raised on certain principles of truth. Listen, when you're built up in Christ, you find stability and you find truth. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 15. Paul writes to the Ephesian church. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. And the Him is Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's a time in your life you got to grow up. We got to grow up. We can't just keep watching the preacher on TV and listen to the guy on the radio or grabbing whatever is hottest in the Christian bookstore. And listen, I've been there and I looked at the bookshelf and there's not a lot of good stuff in there either. Listen, there's nothing better than the Word of God. You got to get rooted and ground in Jesus Christ and in His Word. Don't let someone else toss you around. Get grounded in Christ. I got a friend who goes after every little thing that comes by his way, and I'm having to correct him all the time. Quit watching that guy. Put that book down. Have you read your Bible? No? Well, that's your problem. You're being rooted and grounded in the wrong thing. You got to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Get rooted and grounded in Christ. Listen, if you're going to live abundantly thankful, you got to rest in the gift Christ gave you. And you got to find truth and stability in Christ alone. And the third thing is by living abundantly for Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 again. Paul writes here, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, right here. Abounding therein, how? With thanksgiving. You got to abound in being rooted and built up in Christ. If you're to become a person that is abundantly thankful, then you must live abundantly for Christ. In verse 7, you saw how a believer is to be rooted and built up in Christ, but then it goes on to say that you are to abound therein. That word abound means to superabound in quality or quantity. Listen, not just getting a lot more involved in church, but it's doing it for the right reasons. Listen, you can get all involved in all sorts of activities, but do it for the wrong reasons. You need to superabound in the desire to serve Christ in everything you do. Abounding means to be in excess. But it also means to cause to superabound. It's not just about what can I do when I come to church. It's how can I encourage someone else to now superabound. Man, if you want to be thankful, if you really want the Lord to bless your life, get involved in someone else's life. Disciple them. Get them fired up for the Lord. Let me tell you, you'll be superabounding in thankfulness. You got to abound, superabound. But it's got to be in Jesus Christ. It can't be in what you're doing. It can't be in your things. It's got to be in Jesus Christ. Listen, Your life should be overflowing with the grace of God. The principles you learn from the Bible should then permeate every inch of your being and then shine forth for the glory of God. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Look at what he says here in verse 17. Colossians 3, verse 17, he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed," he says, do some things? No, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do is for God. Everything we do is to glorify Jesus Christ. Everything we do. Listen to Romans 14, 8. Paul says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's." We're the Lord's. We're not our own. We're the Lord's. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10, 31. "Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Listen, you may be finding it hard to be thankful this year, but I can guarantee you that if you're abundantly focusing on your circumstances, if you're abundantly focusing on your struggles, if you're abundantly focusing on the strongholds in your life, I can guarantee you, you will not be thankful. Because all you're going to be seeing is the horrible side. No wonder why you're not thankful. You got to be focusing on Jesus Christ and His Word. Listen, according to God's Word, your life in Christ is not about placing emphasis on the struggle, but placing emphasis on praising God for giving you the freedom through Jesus Christ. Quit focusing on the struggle and focus on the one who made you free. Jesus made you free from sin. Focus on the freedom. When you quit focusing on your struggles and start living to glorify God instead, the abundant life of Christ will abound in you and through you. Listen to Galatians 5:16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Sound familiar? Colossians 2:6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him." So if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, that's a promise. He says, listen, if you walk in the Spirit, if you're living your life according to God's truth, that flesh will not control your life. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But this is what your life will reflect. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Listen, if I had the option of choosing a life of misery, discouragement, despair, or love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and so on, I don't think it's a hard choice. But you can't focus on the trouble. You got to focus on the Savior. You got to take your eyes off the hurts and put it on the one who made you free. Life is not easy, and it's full of struggles. But remember that Christ has won the victory, and He gives this victory to you. Take a moment, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is the last time we'll turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at we'll start in verse 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 55. Paul writes here, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And listen to this verse, verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Listen, those of you that are close to me and know me well, know the difficulties that I've faced this last year and a half. I've left an awesome church home to go face a new challenging ministry. In the midst of this ministry, I had the death of my father, who I was serving with. In this, I had the struggle, and people that I thought were close, I had friends, betrayed me. I faced failure. Major, major failure. Shauna can attest to the struggle I had. But listen, as difficult as these were, as difficult as these struggles were in my life, as much as I felt like quitting, I clung to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Man, I clung to that. He said, because your labor is not in vain. Not in vain. Listen, and praise the Lord, and I don't mean to embarrass you guys, but I got two wonderful friends from up in Bunnell that came down to see me preach tonight. And what a blessing and encouragement they are to see them sitting there. I was overjoyed when I saw them sitting there. Listen, even though in me there is struggle, even though in me there is failure, even though in me there is fear, but in Christ there is victory. In Christ there is victory. And you are complete in Him. You have that victory. Listen, my prayer and hope for all of us this Thanksgiving is that we'll not be thankful for what we've done or for what we have, but what Christ has done in us and what He'll accomplish through us. And listen, I want to give you a charge out there. If there's anyone out here tonight that hasn't accepted Christ, that hasn't trusted in Him, Lord, that you will take this time tonight. Don't wait another moment. Don't wait another day. Because that freedom is just waiting right there for you. Turn to Him today. Trust Him in your heart. Listen, if you desire to live abundantly thankful, you must rest in the gift Christ gave you, find truth and stability in Christ, and then live abundantly for Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much again for the opportunity here to just come together with the great church family and to learn from Your Word. And I pray we'll take the truth from Your Word and just apply it in our lives, Lord. And Lord, as we gather together this Thanksgiving holiday with friends and family, that we'll put all our eyes on You and to give You the glory. And just thank You for all that You've done in our lives. We thank You and we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.